Hello, thank you so much for being here to learn with us today about Bitachon. And there was one point that I really wanted to cover before we proceed with the different aspects of Bitachon that a person needs. And that occurred to me that it's in Sefer Shmuel. We're going to start talking about Shmuel, how he went to anoint Shaul, and that was a very risky thing for him to do because there was a big rivalry between Shaul and David, and he was going. I don't know what I just said, but he was going to anoint David, and Shaul was going to become very upset if Shmuel would anoint David when Shaul was still the king, or he felt that he was supposed to still be the king. When Shaul made his errors, we are told that Shmuel HaNavi was grieving over his downfall from being the king. And there's something that relates to our lives very, very much. And that is that sometimes it's hard to get over something unspeakably difficult, something unbearable, something that is a source of anguish and disappointment. It is very challenging to move past it. So if we look, it says that when Shaul HaMelech, and this relates to Purim also that's coming, when Shaul HaMelech did not kill Agag and he did not destroy all the Amalekim, it says the word of Hashem was to Shmuel saying, Nichamti ki himlachti es Shaul HaMelech. I have thought a second thought, kaviyachol, about having made Shaul the king. Ki Shaul me'acharai, because he moved away from behind me. He didn't keep my words, my command. Vayichar l'Shmuel. Here we have the Navi Shmuel and the Nevi'im who are supposed to be always in a positive frame of mind in order to have prophecy, that is. He was extremely aggravated. Vayichar l'Shmuel. He was grieved. Vayizak el Hashem kol ha'layla. He screamed out to Hashem the entire night. What happened? As the Maamar always explains, based on, of course, earlier Mefarshim, when Shmuel had told the people, and he said, when you have a king, that king is going to have to behave properly. You and that Melech who will rule over you, they're going to follow Hashem. Now Shaul, though, has gone off that derech, Shaul HaMelech. He did not keep the word of Hashem and his command. Shav me'acharai, he moved away from behind me, that Hashem said. That's referring to Gilgal, when Shaul did not wait for Shmuel to come. And about the sin of not killing all the Amalekim, it said, Vestivarai lo hikim. He did not uphold my word. The first Avera of not waiting in Gilgal, that could have been repaired through Tefillah, the Ma'am Loes asserts. But when he did something else wrong, and he did not kill Amalek entirely, that was what broke the decree of him being king and made it that he couldn't be the Melech anymore. But listen to this line from the Me'am Loe that we could all relate to. Shahaya Shmuel ohev Shaul b'chol libo. That Shmuel loved Shaul with his whole heart. Shmuel HaNavi, he invested in Shaul. It was his handiwork. He put his heart and soul into Shaul as the king. Nis'atzev. He was now saddened. He was depressed. Bir'oso in his seeing. Ki chosa elav hara'a meis Hashem. That Hashem was upset at him and was going to demote him and remove him from being the king. Look at the Me'am Loe's terminology. When a person loves someone so much, bends over backwards for the person. Turns himself inside out when necessary for the person, puts in so much time, effort, and energy, and then that person falls. That is devastating beyond belief. And this is what happened to Shmuel. Even a Navi can have indescribable suffering because he invested in someone. Shmuel invested in Shaul. So the first point we have today is that it can happen to any person on any level. Obviously, Shmuel is on a very heligal, very lofty level. He's a Navi. So on his extremely elevated level, he was shattered because of this failure of Shaul. A parent can feel shattered because of a perceived failure or a real failure of a child. Hopefully, a failure means it's a relative term. They failed or didn't meet certain goal that the parents love the child so much and wish and hope that the child would do what's right for his or her neshama. And when that doesn't happen and the parents feel defeated, they feel like they're a failure, that can happen. We have to acknowledge it And we have to validate that that is okay, that that happens sometimes, meaning it's a reality. And the Mayam always continues. So what does this have to do with bitachon, by the way? Well, a lot to do with bitachon. Number one, I don't take it personally if that could happen to me, if something in life is so disappointing, so deeply disappointing that I'm floored by it. And I have even a hard time moving past it. As we're going to see, Shmuel HaNavi had a hard time moving forward. You know, it's a cliche, but life is a journey. And sometimes we get stuck in the mud, or we have a delay. Our plane gets canceled. Our plans are out of the question suddenly. That's what happened with Shmuel and Shaul. So we have to realize, but Hashem is with us the whole time. Hashem is in constant touch with Shmuel, and he's going to explain to him, you have to work through this. So yes, we have to, we suffer it maybe, but then there's the next chapter where we have to move on. As it says, listen to the language of the Mayam Loi. It's Vahatam Shezak El Hashem Kol Alayla. Why did Shmuel scream the whole night? It doesn't just say he davened, he requested. He screamed, he cried, because he didn't know why. He was in the dark. Why do people scream and cry and they're disappointed and they're grieving? Because they don't understand. We don't understand the ways of Hashem. That happened to Shmuel also. We're learning this to acknowledge and to show that it is real. It's okay that this happens to a human being. It's part of being a human. Why is it that Shaul can't be the king anymore? He doesn't even know. He has no clue. Sometimes we have no clue. We're in the dark. And that's why we are frustrated and we're downright sad. So that's something that could happen to us. The question is, what do we do next? But all that was told to him was the punishment, that he wouldn't be the king anymore. So I'm going to read you an underlined part. I underlined in the Mayam Loes, Lachain, and this is in, by the way, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Vav, Sukim Yud through Yud Aleph. Lachain, Zaak El Hashem, he screamed out to Hashem, Kol HaLayla, the whole night, which is what we are supposed to do. If we don't see a salvation, we don't see a solution, we need to call out to Hashem. Zaak, Kol HaLayla. And figuratively, during the whole darkness, the whole mystery, we don't understand, we have no clue, that's the time to scream out to Hashem, who's there listening. Shmuel knows that Hashem is listening all the time. L'das ma'zeh v'al ma'zeh, like the Lashon in Megillas Esther. To know what is going on, what is this, what is the reason for this? U'Shmuel hayah mitzta'er tzar gadol, amase yadav. What was the source of frustration that Shmuel had? It was because it was Maase Yadav. He had put so much into Shaul. He saw a future. He had a vision. It's the same way. We have a vision with a relative, with a child, with a parent. I've heard this many times. It's my life's dream to have, or it's my life's dream to do or to be. Whatever that life's dream is, Shmuel, he had a life's dream that Shaul HaMelech is going to be a successful king. He's from Shevet Binyamin. He's a great tzaddik. So the Maase Yadav is Shaul, who's Mashicho, who's the one he anointed. And now it's decreed that he can't be the king anymore. So that's why, as the Mayam Loes explains, the Meirov Tsar saw Kol HaLayla. He was so grieved and pained by it, he screamed out the whole night, Ulai Yimtza Pestach Lebitol Gazar Hadin. That's an interesting point. He's not just screaming and crying. He's saying, maybe if Hashem will answer me with a positive, with a yes, maybe there'll be a way out of this, to wiggle through it, to nullify that decree. But was there? Nope. That's what happens in life sometimes too. Sometimes the answer is not yes. I'm sure you've heard that many times before. But he did everything he could. So if Shmuel did all that he could, he invested his energies, his emotions, his kochos, his wisdom into Shaul HaMelech as the king, and now it crashed. What are we supposed to do now? Because he was not able to rescind the decree. Even the Navi wasn't able to. You think, Navi, Shmuel, he's so close to Hashem. No, but sometimes even a Navi, the answer to the Navi is not yes, it's no. But it's not just no. It's not now, meaning it's not this person. But there is hope, there's somebody else. The next chapter in life that we have to move on to. And this is my favorite part of this, a little part of Shmuel Aleph. If you look in Perek Tes Zayin, incredible statement. Hashem says, remarkable, the communication to Shmuel HaNavi. Every human being needs to hear this. especially when we get stuck on something that paralyzes me, makes me unable to move forward. Admosai Atomis Abel El Shaul, Hashem says to Shmuel. Would you believe such a thing? Until when are you going to be stuck on this? But it doesn't say that you're just upset, Shmuel, about the failure of Shaul as king. Atomis Abel El Shaul, you're mourning. Look at the Shmuel HaNavi. Remember we said Nevi'im was supposed to be Basimcha? They can never even get Nevuah unless they're Basimcha. Well, there's a roller coaster of emotions in the Navi's life too, on his level. And he is Misabel. He's literally in a state of grief over the failure of Shaul, in whom he invested so much. But Hashem says to him and to every person, Hashem says to me, Ad Masai Ata Misabel. You had a frustration, you had a perceived failure. Maybe it's a setback, it's a disappointment. But you can't keep mourning. Ad Masai Ata Misabel. You cannot continue in the state of mind. You need to move on. So as you look in the Me'am Lois, he explains, Amnam, indeed. When we talk about mourning, he says, mourning that you have is about this king whom you anointed, and he can't be the king anymore. Yes, yes, I acknowledge that, and I agree that you're suffering emotionally beyond description. I validate your feeling. Avo ein ra'oi sheha'avel sheha'avel yimashech yoser midai. It is not proper. It's not fitting that a person's frustration and being upset about something should continue more than enough, more than necessary. It has to end somewhere. There are people who are stuck on something and can't move past it for minutes, for hours, for days, sometimes for months, sometimes for years. And I've seen for decades too. Hashem says, no, you have to realize there's a plan in this world. And this is something you got stuck on? Yep. Okay, but now it's time to move on. Ein roi shah evel yimashech yoser midai. It is not appropriate that sadness, depression, and frustration should continue more than its allotted time period. Kevon she'ein tikva od mishal, because you have to just face it. There's no more hope for Shaul to be the king. Move forward. So we're told to move forward. Whatever's stuck in my mind, there are things that I get up each day and they're tormenting to me. They're still there. They're still in my mind. They're lurking there. But he says, no, you have to work on moving on. Of course, we work through and then we work and move forward. Not only that, why would a person mourn and be depressed a lot? Ha'evel ha'muflag, an excess amount of mourning, ba al echad mishnei devar. Ma'am Lois explains, it would be one of two reasons. O mipnei shteh hadavar hanevad chashuv ma'od. Either because the loss was something very special, something very valuable, and the person is mourning for it, or because she'ein lo tamura, there's no exchange, there's no repair for it, there's no replacement. So, zuk de me'am lo'ez, Hashem is telling Shmuel Hanavi, you have to realize that it's over too, meaning you can't say that it's irreplaceable, this situation, irreparable. And you also can't say that what was lost is so noble anymore. What does that mean? So I'm reading the Me'am Lo'ez in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Zayin. Hashem said to Shmuel, Ad Masai Atamis Abel, until when are you going to mourn and agonize over things? We can't keep agonizing over things. Imishum ha'aveda atzma, if it's the loss itself. I have rejected Shaul as the king. That's just the Ratzon Hashem. So that you have to move forward from it. We all have to move forward from our frustrations and from what we feel are failures. You think there's no replacement for Shaul HaMelech? Sometimes we come to a brick wall, a perceived brick wall. Sometimes we come to what we feel is an impossible situation, and there's no way to move forward. No, mishum she'ein lo tamura. There's no alternative plan. There's no plan B. There's no contingency plan. You're making a mistake. There is a plan, and that's why you need to move forward. Male karnach Hashem, fill your horn, the horn shaped container, with oil. Go to Beis Lechem to Yishai, There's somebody there who can be the king. So don't feel that it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. There's always hope. Just move to the next project. This is what we learn in Tanakh is supposed to be the template, the prototype for all of our crises and our challenges that we have in life. When we come to a frustration, so then Hashem says, okay, Male Karnacha, fill up your kelim with oil. Fill yourself with productivity, with Torah, with mitzvos, and move forward. Go to the Beis Lechem. You'll find someone there. Because when Shaul did not do the way you're supposed to do in Gilgal and with Amalek, so then what happened is that's why it has to move to the next project. So what I see from this is it could be that a person is depressed or frustrated for a protracted period of time, a long time. And what we have to remember is, and I'm saying to myself, is that Hashem tells Shmuel, Ad Masai Atomis Abel. Until when are you going to continue to agonize over this? In other words, don't continue to agonize. Move forward and work on Bitachon, work on Torah and Mitzvah. And with that introduction, we're going to continue in the Orach HaTzaddikim about Bitachon. Because if we're not stuck in the mud, then we can pick ourselves up and keep moving. So, the Orach HaTzaddikim in the Shaar Simcha tells us, what is the first type of bitachon, the first area of life that we need to trust in Hashem in? Habitachon harishon. What is the first one? The inyan guf ha'adam hu. It's about the person's body, the person's personality. Sheyashlich nafsho. That a person needs to cast himself. Now, how does a person hurl himself forward? What does that mean? For example, we get up in the morning, it's really not so simple. It's not smooth many times to wake up in the morning. Yashlich nafsho. So what I have to do is say, I'm going to hurl myself like a cannonball, and I'm going to get out of bed, and I'm going to say moda'ani right when I wake up. I'm going to watch Neglavasser. I'm going to go and learn Torah and Davin. Yashlich nafsho. Sometimes a person has to do it like I'm actually throwing myself into it. There's an expression, isn't it? Throw yourself into this project. So that's what I have to say to myself. This golden terminology of the Orach HaTzaddikim, there's nothing like it, because sometimes that's the only way to do it. Or how about when I'm being pulled down? I'm lethargic. I'm lacking energy. I'm lacking enthusiasm. So what do? Yashlich nafsho. A person has to hurl himself forward, the yimsor atzmo, and hand himself over al rachmav hagedolim, for the sake of Hashem's great mercies. What does that have to do with anything? What's the structure of the sentence? I know that Hashem is full of mercy. Why do I hesitate? Why am I lethargic? Why am I lacking enthusiasm? Because sometimes I'm anxious. I'm worried. I can't get myself to do whatever I'm supposed to do. It could be davening with kavana. It could be learning. It could be chesed. I have to remember, Racham of HaGadolim, Hashem is full of so much compassion. It's a worthwhile endeavor to work for a king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's so compassionate. I will hurl myself into it enthusiastically, not just unenthusiastically, but with a lot of energy. The yeda, and the person needs to know, she'ein lo etza v'hanhaga, a person has no plan, no leadership, no guidance, no direction, el b'shuso v'gzeraso, except with Hashem's permission and with Hashem's decree. That means that if I'm moving forward, that's because Hashem is allowing it, decreeing that I have this opportunity. It is not by accident. I shouldn't be hesitant to do it. I should move forward with full power whenever I'm able to. It creates a totally different lifestyle when I do things with enthusiasm and I hurl myself, I push myself. And you might say, this is not comfortable right now because I'm going against my inertia. I'm going against my animalistic type of materialism, my physicality, but it pays off because then we arrive at Simcha and Bitachon. Now we have another point. If that's true, that Hashem is always guarding me and I can throw myself into Avodas Hashem, so even though that Hashem is the one who takes care of my health, even though that all of a person's health, physical health, emotional health, and longevity, they're all tied to, they're all connected with Hashem's decree. So can a person say, oh, so in that case, I don't really have to take care of my health. I don't have to eat enough or eat right. I don't really need to sleep enough because Hashem will take care of me. No, we know that rudimentary bitachon is that there's a balance. We have to do our hishtadlus when it comes to taking care of our health. Mikol makom, even so, nevertheless, yesh la'adam li'isgalgel la'arviach kol tzrachav. A person does have to go about to acquire and to obtain all of one's needs. In other words, a person can't say, well, Hashem is the one who is protecting me. Since God is protecting me, I can do things that are risky, and I don't have to really be so careful with my health. No, I have to be careful, and I have to protect myself and not do things that are foolish. Well, ha'atzil nafsho, a person needs to rescue himself, to protect himself, not to do things that are foolhardy. Well, l'sakin lo ha'refuos, a person does need to secure the proper medicines and a good medical team, if necessary, and good physicians, because Hashem wants us to put forth that hishtadlus. You know, we've talked about efforts before. That's our part. But then after all that, okay, so I've researched, I found good doctors, I checked into the medicines and vitamins and supplements. What's next? V'yiftach be'elokim she'yir po'ehu. And then the person needs to trust in Hashem that he will heal him. Because all of those are just instruments to being healthy. The harofe v'harafua, the proper doctor and the cure, bo'im lo me'eis Hashem yisborach. Where do they come from? They come to him from Hashem, blessed be he. That's where they come from. How was it that I found such an effective medicine? How was it that I was able to link up with such a professional, wonderful doctor? That's from Hashem. That's the rapeo, to heal the person. Below yaniach inyan ze ela al hu elokim levado. The person has to place this entire matter only in the lap of Hashem. That is the one. He is the only one. What about these doctors and medicines? I have huge respect and gratitude, hakaras hatov, and admiration. They are sent to me from Hashem, though. It is not originating with them. And Hashem will give this person, the patient, every person is a patient, because any person is susceptible, chas v'shalom, to illnesses, emotional, physical, psychiatric, and in order to be healthy, we dive into Hashem to be healthy. Hashem should give every person the yicholas v'hakoach, the ability and the strength to remain healthy and to utilize those forces, those resources that are sent to us, which are the doctors and different medicinal methods, different cures. The al yomar adam, person should not say, hoel vani kosher b'gzeres habori yisbarach. Since I'm dependent on Hashem's decree, eilech b'darchei asakana, I will therefore go in ways that are dangerous. I can go in dangerous areas, ve'esh tesan hamabes, and I'll drink poison. Now, I don't think anybody really usually plans to drink poison, but I'll do things that are unhealthy. I'll do things that are risky. No, I'm not allowed to do that. Besides that, it's against the law. I'm not allowed to go 80 miles an hour in a 55 mile per hour zone because it's also dangerous. And we have dina de malchusa dina. We have to keep the law of the land besides that. And guess what? We now have the inyan of Shmuel that we're linking to that we started with today. In the beginning of today, and as we're coming to our final 5 minutes, we're going to kind of wrap things up. Today we started out by saying that the Navi Shmuel suffered a devastating, emotional, traumatic setback when Shaul, who was the Maaseh Yadav, in whom he invested so much. By the way, the Lashon Maaseh Yadav is used about persons' children also. It's in Koheles. V'chibel as Maaseh Yadecha. Maaseh Yadayim. The Gemara says the biggest Maaseh Yadayim, the greatest project, meaning what we put so much energy into, lack of a better word, are our children. There's no investment that's more demanding than raising children. And it says that Lashon, the Me'am Loes, borrows that language in explaining the relationship that Shmuel had to Shaul. Shaul was almost like a child of Shmuel in a certain way, because Shmuel had put so much into him. And Shmuel did go through that trauma of Shaul not being successful as king and having to work through it, and Hashem having to tell him, you have to move forward in your journey in life to the next chapter. So that's how we started today. And now we're picking up from there. Okay, so Shmuel did recover enough to have a dialogue with Hashem and say, okay, I have to move on to the next chapter in Jewish history, which means David HaMelech, whoever that son of Yishai is going to be, which will be David. But Shmuel was hesitant. Shmuel said, wait a minute. Okay, I understand that the Shaul chapter is really over. We have to move on to David or whoever the son of Yishai is. Halo matzino b'Shmuel. But Shmuel said, I have a certain problem. He said to Hashem, as the Orchas Tzadikim says, we find with Shmuel, Ba'amro, he said in Shmuel Aleph Tes Zion Beis, right there where we were learning before, Eich Elech v'shamashol v'haragani. Okay, fine. I understand that I have to anoint a new king. I have to anoint someone new. But how can I go if Shaul will hear about this and he'll kill me? What's the dilemma? Shaul, as we know, to say the least, was not interested in his son-in-law becoming the king. And that's a very complex topic in Sefer Shmuel. So Shmuel said to Hashem, if I go and anoint a son of Yishai, and will end up being David, whoever I go to anoint, if Shaul hears, Shmuel told Hashem, if Shaul HaMelech hears that I do that, how could I go? He'll kill me. So the Orchos HaZikim says, what? What happened to Bitachon? Why is Shmuel worried? He's worried. He's anxious about anointing a new king. He says, Shaul is going to kill me if I anoint a new king. Isn't it about Bitachon? No, that's the point. There's a balance. That would be something dangerous, clearly dangerous, what we call Shchiach Hezek, a clear and present danger, to go and anoint someone else while Shaul is the king and Shaul hears about it, he'll kill me. That's a valid concern. We don't say, okay, I'm going to walk to Shul. Let's say it's in a neighborhood, a little rough neighborhood, and there's a gunfight going on between two gangs across the street from each other. I'll say, well, I'm going to walk to Shul now. Bye. I'll walk between the bullets. Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to do a mitzvah. Well, we have a rule. Even Shluchei Mitzvah are not allowed to put their lives in danger if it's Shchiach Hezekah. It's clear and present danger. So Shmuel felt that anointing someone right now is not advisable for his health, because if Shaul hears about it, he'll kill him. Is that a lack of bitachon? No. Even though he said that, lo nechshav kemisha mamayit bebitchono, he was not considered a person who is lacking trust in Hashem. Hashem did not reprimand him and say, what are you worrying about? Where's your bitachon? No, Hashem did not admonish him about a lack of bitachon. Bakarish Baruch Hu Heshiv Lo. And Hashem answered him. He said, okay, you're right. You have to do your hishtadlus to protect yourself, which is the story of our lives, achieving the proper balance between hishtadlus and bitachon. Yes, we trust in Hashem, but we have to take measures to be on the safe side. Eglas Bakar Tikach Biadecha. Take a calf of the herd in your hand, a calf from the herd. And if anybody asks you, well, what are you doing over there in Beis Lechem? You're not going to say, well, I'm anointing a new king, because Shaul might kill him for that. But Martha, and you'll say, Lizboach Lashem Basi, I have come to offer an offering to Hashem. You have to give an excuse. That's why I came. That's going to be what will safeguard your life. So this shows us we have to strike the proper balance between protecting ourselves with our own ishtalus and then putting it in Hashem's hands, trusting in Hashem. Today we saw that no matter what comes our way, no matter what frustrations we see, and they should be very minimal and they should be very manageable, we have to sometimes move on and stop mourning and lamenting and be besimcha, work on positivity and optimism. And with that, our bitachon will always blossom and grow. Thank you so much for joining us, and you should have a wonderful week.